For this morning, let's turn to chapter 3 of Genesis. I just want to pause for a moment. I just want to pray just before we go any further. Father, this morning, as we open up your word, we thank you for the truth and the authority that it has in our lives and in the spiritual realm. God, we want it to speak to our hearts. I pray that you would remove any obstacles that are in the way of us hearing clearly from you this morning. God, we thank you for your word. We don't take it lightly, Lord. We take it seriously, and we want to press in this morning to you and hear from you. So thank you that you will do that in Jesus' name. Amen. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 to 10. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God. They were afraid of God. They were full of fear, and they hid themselves. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." I don't know your story. For me personally, I feel like there's been fear in my life at different times. Now, as a church, since October 2018, when I first came here, I shared a message with you from the book of Nehemiah and the book of Ezra about rebuilding the wall, rebuilding things that God wants to do in our lives. And I remember I preached that, and I was preaching for the job, you know. It was, you know, challenging as it was. And then I just closed the Bible, and I was done what I felt God wanted me to preach to you. And I came down from the pulpit, and I said, "I don't know what God wants to do in this church, but I feel like he wants to do something right now." And I really just left it open. And prophetic words were given by you. There was a flood of people that came to the altar. I remember Irv, and I think Irv's even back there today doing monitor. I remember I just went out into the hall with Irv. I had a cold. I was really sick that day. I had a hard time speaking for too long, so I just went and hung out with Irv. And as we just looked back in the sanctuary, I just saw people just crying out to God. We saw people just getting healed from all kinds of stuff. There was a shift in the spiritual realm that morning. I really believe that. And then in 2019, the last year that I've been here with you, I've really asked you to trust me as I point you to this thing. We've talked about the Bible so much. I feel like I try and get out of the way as much as I can because I want to bring you to this thing. And I've asked, trust me when I say this because it's in the Word of God. And I tried to bring that across. In 2020, we started the year off by having a 24-hour prayer and fast time. I said, let's press into God and see what he wants to do in 2020. Really excited about this year. And we've come to some great scriptures. I've got an insert for you to take home. This morning, I'm asking you to think about some fear that you have in your life and to let it go. I want to show you biblically how fear doesn't line up with the Word of God, and I will show you some great stories about how to be free of fear, but then it's in your hands. I will set the table for you to be free from your fear, and then how you respond is up to you. But I really encourage you that as we prayed and fasted this last month and we pressed in, this heaviness was on my heart to just share this message with you. Because so often, like for my life, most of my life I have probably lived in fear because I wasn't saved for most of my life. I lived in fear and I was afraid. And when I thought about God, just like we read about Adam and Eve, I would hide from God. I was afraid. I'd look at the Ten Commandments. I thought, oh, I fall so short, God. And they're just full of fear. I remember as a young boy, me and my boys, we got a privilege of going to the last Star Wars movie. It came out, and we had Dave and Kathy with us. We had a great time together. And I look back to when I was a teenager, and my older brother took me to Star Wars. Probably wasn't even old enough back then. Probably snuck in with my brother. The parents probably didn't want me to see it. But I came out of that movie theater, and I thought I was Luke Skywalker. I thought, I will face my fear. I will cut my fear in half. Fear is underneath me as a young kid. But then reality set in, and I was very fearful. I think about the stuff that I faced as a young kid. I had eczema from head to toe. I was always itchy and scratchy and bleeding. I would get migraine headaches on a weekly basis. I was so full of fear and so scared. Later on in life, my parents got divorced, which caused such fear in me. My parents actually end up kicking me out of the house. I probably deserved it from the decisions of the things that I was doing. I was so bound up in fear. I was so afraid. I would lose sleep over being so scared and so full of fear. You know, I grew up thinking that in the early, when I was 20-ish, I thought, man, I'm going to end up like my parents. I'm going to end up turning to drugs and alcohol. I'm going to end up like my biological father when he found out that my mother was pregnant, would ran away. I thought, I don't want to end up like that. And I was so afraid of that. But then the good news is, thank the good Lord, Jesus showed up in my life. God showed up in my life and took such a broken vessel and he made something with it. I can't stand here today without you understanding that the presence of God can change any situation for the glory of God. So whatever you face, whatever you're concerned about even this morning, God can heal you of that, I promise you. I don't just read about it. It's happened for me personally. And I've had many of you in my office share stories like that of the healing power of God. So let's unpack this scripture a little bit more. We just kind of shed a little bit of light on Adam and Eve. But let's look at it a little bit further. So in verse 7, it says this. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. See, the story is that Adam and Eve, they ate something and that they were now afraid. They were now scared. They realized that something wasn't right because of what they had done. They had eaten from something of a tree that was, it was good, but there was also evil attached to it. So they understood evil. They understood fear. To that point, it was perfect. They were not afraid. They weren't as scared of God. Think about God right now. Now, when I wasn't saved and I thought about the church, I thought about the Bible, I thought about God, I was so fearful of that. I thought, oh, how will I ever measure up to that? And the reality is you can't and you won't. But praise be to God that God makes a way for you. You see here that they were afraid because they knew evil. Something had changed at that very moment. Something inside of them knew that there was now evil in the world. See, prior to that, the hard wire, a hard drive of Adam and Eve was good. It was very good, God said. And there was no room for fear because they hadn't experienced that. So it's all good. When God came around, it was good. Yes, I'm with God. But then they took from that tree, good and evil, and they realized their shame. They realized their fear, and they were afraid, and they hid from God. You see, to that point, then that changed. So when you look back to the very first two people on the earth, right then and there was something that changed in their hardware. They got a virus, is basically what happened, right? A virus of bad and evil and wickedness and fear. And at that moment forward, you and I are doomed, in a sense, to have that emotion, to be able to experience fear and evil. You don't need a pastor, you don't need the Ten Commandments to tell you when you're wrong. It's right in there, isn't it? I talk to so many unbelievers about this. They say, I don't actually believe what you believe, but I realize that when I hurt somebody or do something wrong, I feel bad. Why do I feel bad? There must be a higher something that would make me feel bad, because isn't that interesting? That it's right in there, and that's when it happened, in that very moment. Let's continue to read some of the verses we already read earlier. Verse 8 and 9, it says, and the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And it just breaks my heart when I read that. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? Even in their fear and brokenness and they were afraid, God calls out to them. God's calling out to you. You can never be too far from God. You can never do anything too wrong that God wouldn't look for you and call out to you. Where are you? You're hiding. You're hidden. You're trying to hide from God. And God's saying, I will press in. I will come and find you. I will call to you. I think sometimes the weight of the fear is what really causes us to go and hide. It's because of our sin, and we feel like sinners, don't we? We feel terrible for some of the things we've done. You know, in my life, I wish I could go back. Don't you ever? I wish I could go back and relive that. I wish I had the Back to the Future time machine that I just watched with my son. Just go back and just hit a reset button on that, because that decision ripple affected so many things in not a good way. And I thought, oh God, let me do better in the days coming. In verses 10 and 11, it says, he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And so he hid. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? A principle that I shared with you last year, and I want to share with you just a little bit again, is that God removed them from the garden really to save Adam and Eve. Because at that moment when they had eaten, they knew sin. They were separated now from God because of their sin. And God didn't want them to eat from the other tree in the garden, the tree of life that would give them eternal life, because they knew they would be eternally separated from their God, permanently separated from God. So God removed them from the garden. Out of the wisdom of God, God did that. It wasn't that, you know, the serpent, that Satan won that day. It wasn't that God was being harsh to his people that day. It was that God in his wisdom wanted to do something so that a savior could come and set them free. It's so important to understand that. I think when I was first saved, so often I would read it, I'd say, God's so harsh. He's so tough. Why would he do that? Why would he allow that? But you understand the heart of our God. Let's just flip back one chapter, chapter 2, so Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. It says, and the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye, good for food. And in the middle of the garden was the tree of life. That's the one that he didn't want them to touch. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. See, the serpent had one agenda that day, or, you know, during that time. He wanted Adam and Eve to eat from the tree of good and evil, so that then they would be separated from God. I'm sure if Satan or the serpent had enough time, he would also encourage them to eat from the tree of life so that they would be eternally separated from God. But God knew that. He knew the Satan's scheme, and he always knows the devil's plans, and he interrupted in the devil's plans and took care of business and, you know, had his own agenda. So, in Genesis 3, verse 22, it says, and the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So God removed Adam and Eve from the garden. When I thought about the tree of life, I learned something I'll share with you in a little bit as I was doing this. In the book of Revelation, we would see some other references to the tree of life. So God provides this beautiful garden for Adam and Eve. He says, don't eat from these two trees. They eat from the tree of good and evil. And the tree of life, we don't really see again till we look at the very, very end. So let's just look at that. Let's go looking for that for just a moment. So Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So we're getting a foreshadow of what's happening to us, the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give you the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise with God. I will give you the right in the end time. I will give you the right. As you come into paradise, you will be able to eat from the tree of life. Oh, isn't that wonderful news? So when we see the very beginning, God had a purpose and a plan for that tree of life. We made a mistake with it, but he promises he's going to give it back to us again. Oh, praise the Lord. God is good. Even though we messed it all up, God is still good. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 and 2. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great city of the, or the street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. There's a whole sermon in there, but this morning we need to realize that the tree of life is there. It's available for you and I. It's something that's going to be fruitful, and God wants you to have it. And in verse 14 and 15 in the same chapter, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into God's city, into God's paradise. Whoa, thank the good Lord that we can read those kind of scriptures, eh? Let's just flip back to Genesis just for a moment. I want to just finish off that thought, and we'll look at another story. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. And the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. See, God had a plan the whole time. He knew this was going to happen. It wasn't something that he didn't predict was going to happen. And the challenging thing is, you think about when the garden was perfect, everything was perfect, the first death that we see God does for Adam and Eve. God has to actually physically kill something. We all like the little Sunday school story where there's a little lamb and, you know, the Lamb of God, that all kind of fits together, but it's not very biblical, but it does make sense. But God has to kill a lamb or an animal to clothe them. And it's a wonderful foreshadow that God is showing us that Jesus will have to come one day and be killed on our behalf so that we can be right with our God. Because we couldn't do it on our own. We needed a Savior. We needed Jesus. We still need Jesus today. And especially since we know that when we turn on any kind of device or any kind of channel, we see so much fear. I mean, that's what the media is pushing on us, is just fear and, you know, be afraid and, you know, store up treasures on earth because you don't know what tomorrow looks like. And this is the agenda of the enemy. I'm not saying that your device or that media is the devil, but it sure feels like that sometimes when you watch it. It just feels like you're just getting bombarded with things that should be scaring you half to death. Then we would read scriptures to kind of counteract that when you and I would face that, and we see that, oh, that seems scary, right? That seems very intense. And then we would read in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, we would read things like this: therefore, because of all of that, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. We're so bound up in fear and death, and we're being afraid, but God is saying there's no more room for that when you've got the Spirit of God living inside of you. Because I've overcome that, and I want to set you free of that. This is the table that I'm setting for you. I'm helping you understand that you don't need to be fearful when you've got Christ living inside you. When you've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you, fear, there's no room for fear. Because fear is darkness, and the Spirit of light lives inside of you. Darkness has to check out. And I can tell you that. I can preach this to you all day long. We can spend sermon after sermon all year. I'll preach on this. There's so much in here to teach you that. But at some point, you have to receive it. And I'm praying that you receive it this morning and you let it go. Get it out. Don't lose sleep over this. Don't stress out over this anymore. It's out of your control anyways. Just press into God. As you press into God, those things begin to leave. Or you can have a cup of tea, as Joyce Myers would say, have a cup of tea with Satan this morning for a couple hours and just listen to fear and be afraid all day long. No thanks. I don't even like tea anyways. But let's not do that as a church. Let's not do that as a believer. If you get fear in you, then say, oh yeah, I'm going to open up some scriptures. And there's no more fear for me than in Christ Jesus. Just start power reading scripture. I've given you a handout that's got all kinds of scriptures like that. Don't give it room. Don't give it a time of day. Amen. If you're up late at night and you're worried, it's because you're full of fear. Amen. Open this thing up. Don't open up the, turn the TV on. Or, I do that. I'm so guilty of that. I mean, I'm trying to encourage you and I'm not even doing it. It's brutal, man. That wasn't even in my sermon. That's terrible. Okay, let's unpack Romans a little bit more because this is a brilliant piece of scripture. Well, the whole Bible is, but this part I really enjoy. So in Romans, where we found this scripture, chapter 8, therefore there's no more condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, there's this whole train of thought here. I'll probably preach more on it one day, but right now if you think about the Apostle Paul, he's written books to churches that he's planted, and he's encouraging them. You know, he says, hey, you know, don't forget to press in, and you remember when I taught you, and but in Romans, he didn't plant this church. He's speaking to the Roman church that he's never been to, and he's very systematic in what he's teaching. He's basically teaching them what the Apostle Paul believes in. And in his systematic teaching, he's helping them understand, you know, from here to here to here, and it's so good. So in Romans chapter 7, we see a chunk of teaching that teaches us about pre-conversion. Before you were saved, you were like me, you were afraid. You were full of fear before you knew Christ. Then it goes on in the same kind of piece of scripture, the rest of chapter 7, it speaks of the law. God, Paul is teaching them about, you know, the law of God. And how when we look at that, we think about rules. Oh, my word, I'm a rule breaker. And we look at Ten Commandments. We're thinking, oh, I got to obey the Ten Commandments. And then Jesus shows up and says, you can't even think about breaking the Ten Commandments. Otherwise, you've broken it. Ah, that's really hard to do. Like, I can't even think about doing something like that. And then we see in chapter 8, we see a post-conversion. After you get saved, what does it look like? And often we read, and I'll show you in the scripture in just a moment, we see that even after you're saved, we're still fearful. And Paul's trying to teach them that. And then the wonderful, wonderful news is, don't be in a rush to get there, but we see the future glory. He finishes the thought off with saying that we're going to get to heaven one day. We're going to eat from the tree of life one day. What does that look like? So there's a great system. Do you see that? And I don't know where you are on your journey. I know that, you know, 20 years ago, I was, you know, chapter 7, the very beginning of chapter 7. That was me. Just kind of wrestling through it, trying to figure it out. Then I came to the Lord, and I was like, oh, my word, this is impossible. How am I ever going to measure up to this? And then God says, don't worry, I got it all covered because you got the Holy Spirit inside you. You're going to be okay. I sent Jesus to help you with that, and you're thinking, oh, praise God. So let's just quickly unpack this. Chapter 7, let me just share a couple of the verses with you. So Romans chapter 7, verses 4 to 6. It says, so my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him, to Christ, who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, again, pre-conversion, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies so that we bore fruit to what? Not good fruit, did we? We were unfruitful. We were afraid. We were scared. We had fruit to death. But now by dying to what once bound us, all that just bound us up, didn't it? We're so afraid. We're so scared of God. Oh, my God in the Bible. But now we have been released from the law so that we will serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code. Oh, praise the God for the Spirit of God that is for us and with us. We would look at the second section now, the law, as Paul is teaching them about the law. Listen to what he says, the Apostle Paul. You know, biblically, outside of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul is like next in line. I mean, like he's right there. You think, here's what he says about himself. Watch this. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. But I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. What? You're looking like the Apostle Paul will be like, now let me show you my credentials. Let me show you my piece of paper on the wall and all the good things I've done. He goes on to say in verse 18, I know that nothing good lives in me. As the Apostle Paul's coming to Rome to meet with the Roman church, I mean, this isn't credentialing material here. They're thinking like, this guy is a lunatic, right? Think about this stuff. It goes on to say in verse 21, when I want to do good, evil is right there with me. I mean, the Apostle Paul is an anointed man of God. He knows that every single day the enemy wants to trip him up. He knows that every single day there's a battle going on inside of our minds, trying to take us out, isn't there? Then he goes on to say in verse 24, what a wretched man I am, with an exclamation point. Like he's yelling this. What a wretched man I am compared to God. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Who will rescue you and I? We need rescuing, don't we? We can't do this on our own. Oh, I mean, there's a nice church, a good church, it's a comfortable church, but if that's all we have to offer, we're hooped. Because we need somebody that has way more authority than that and who is way more comfortable than that. And we need the Holy Spirit. We need Jesus Christ. We go on to see in chapter 8, we've read this verse number 1. I want to read it again just because, therefore, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's a powerful verse, eh? Verse 15, we would kind of continue down in chapter 8. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. When you get saved and the Spirit of God moves inside of you, there's no more fear. Fear has to check out. The Spirit of God is living inside of you, so fear, bye-bye. You don't live by that. You don't operate like that. You don't think like that anymore because it's a new way of thinking. It's a new way of living. That there's fear is gone because of Christ Jesus. And then the last thing is the future glory. I want to come back to chapter 8, that beginning part, in just a second here. But I want to finish off some thoughts here. 23, verse 23 of chapter 8. It says, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. What does that mean, first fruits? I remember I taught you about first fruits. We talked about tithing. We talked about giving your first fruits to the Lord. But what is it saying here? That God, in a sense, is giving his first fruits to you and I. We see here that this is almost like a guarantee that we are going to get to heaven. God is depositing on us the Holy Spirit, the first fruits of the Spirit. So we receive the Holy Spirit until we get there. This is, we've got to get this. Adam and Eve did something wrong. They were not able to receive the tree of life. It's on hold until future glory. It's on hold till the end times. Tree of life. We got that? In between now, we get the Spirit of life. As a guarantee that we will receive the tree of life when we get to heaven. Do you see that? The Spirit of God, Spirit of life today, the tree of life tomorrow. Whew, that's what I learned. I just put two and two together this morning. It was honestly this morning. I was just looking at it again. I thought, oh, I didn't even notice that. That's brilliant. So in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 again, let me just read it so it makes total sense. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit of life is in you. It's available for you. It's a guarantee that you're going to get to heaven. That's wonderful news. So we receive the first fruits from God. Oh, God, I want your first fruits. I don't want seconds. I don't want sloppy seconds. I want the first fruits. I want, yes, praise God, I want it. I personally want it. Do you want it? So we've set the table this morning for you to receive fruits from God, the Holy Spirit from God. I want to encourage you this morning as we just begin to worship in a few moments to just like, God, what am I really afraid of? I laid out my whole story for you as always. I don't know your story. You're facing things just like every one of us is facing things. But are you an overcomer of those fears right now? Or are those fears overcoming you? And this morning, I really want you to press into that thought, that you are an overcomer in Christ Jesus. You have the Spirit of life living inside of you as a guarantee, as a deposit for you. You have the authority to tell fear where to go and how to get there because of who lives inside of you. But are you allowing that to happen, or are you bound up in fear and shame, and are you hiding? We see Adam and Eve, like, it's a perfect place. I'm not saying this church is perfect. We're trying our best. But it's a good place. And are you hiding from that? Are you hiding from what God is saying to you? As a pastor, I often would encourage you to come to the altar, press in, read your Bible, pray, fast, all these kind of things. But then it's left in your hands. You have to make a decision. I can't make that decision for you. You have to decide what you're going to do. And my prayer is that you decide to press in this morning. Amen. Amen.